Okay, Rabbi Sai, today's daf is daf Ayin Hey. We're holding on Ayin Dalet, the very, very final line on the Amud. And we're going to have a lot of Agadah to today. A lot of it is connected with the Agadah that we started yesterday. You'll recall about 6-7 lines from the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara was bringing a raya that Inui applies to not eating. We wanted to know what's the Makar that one's not allowed to eat and drink on Yom Kippur, because there is no specific pasuk that says lo soichal or lo soichlu. Rather, we have a pasuk of the inisim es nafshei seichem, that we have to torture ourselves, pain ourselves, or ta'anu es nafshei seichem. So how do we know that those words mean not to eat? So you recall about 7 lines from the bottom, we brought a pasuk ha'machilcha man ba'midbar laman anoyscha. The actual feeding of mon caused inui. What was that inui? We had a machlokes of Amiv Rabasi. One says that because they had to wait every day for the next day's allotment of mon, there was a inui pas besaloi. You don't feel absolutely a total comfort, and you go to sleep at night, you're hoping, you're praying that there'll be mon in the morning, but unless you're a person of total emun and bitachin, you're kind of nervous. So that's the Eimli Pas Pasali, that's the Inui. The other man, the Yoma, said the Inui is that you weren't able to see what you were eating, in the sense that, as we know, when you ate the man, you could have in mind anything that you wanted, including sushi, pizza, chulent and kegel, etc., but you didn't see it. You only had that feel. You only had that taste. And therefore, our Gemara tells us that was considered also be ashtikol inoy, ena roya v'oichel. So since we mentioned Rabbi Rabasi, we're going to have another few drushes involving Rabbi Rabasi, and then we're going to come back to the mun and to the slav later on in the daf. So starting the final line of Ayin Dalid Amud Bey, Zokta Pasik, ki itin bekois eno yishalech b'meishorim. Pashup Shat, that means that if a person is So, addicted to wine, he's constantly putting his eye into the kois. Yishalech b'meishorim, that type of person will be able to go smoothly, on a smooth road, on a smooth path. And what's difficult, of course, is usually a person who's intoxicated, if anything, he's going on a crooked path, because he doesn't know what he's doing. He's drunk. So says Yimor Rav Amiv Rabasi, oh, the same Rav Amiv Rabasi, Chad Omer Kol Anoisin Einoi, the Koisoi, whoever becomes drunk, intoxicated, then Aroi is Kulon Doimais Olav Kemishar. Then unfortunately, that intoxication could lead to immorality, that the person might go and live with someone he's not allowed to live with, an Ashes Ish, or something similar. And that will be Doimais Olav Kemishar, it'll appear to be smooth and glatt, only because of the fact, as we just said, that unfortunately the person person is intoxicated, he doesn't know what he's doing. That's the first pshat. Chan Omar, a very similar pshat, kol noisin eina bekois, whoever becomes drunk, kol oilam kulei doima olav kemishar. It's not just a question of arroyos, but everything becomes glatt. So if you look at the Rashi on the first and second line, says Rashi, he looks at other people's money and he thinks, I could take it, and it looks like it's simple, glatt, smooth. That's all because the person is never drunk and he doesn't think straight. Another pasuk, the oga belev ish yashchena. When a person has a daiga, a person has nemach worries, yashchena. Pashup shat yashchena means he should try to push them down, to diminish them, to cause them to decrease. But we have a machlokes now of Amiv Rabasi, Chad Omar Yaschena Midatoi, the word Yaschena is from the Lashon of Mesiach Das, he should try to go and just drive them out of his mind. Don't think about it. Yaschena, his Hesach Das. Don't think about your dagis. Think about good things. Chad Omar Yasichena L'Achirim, that comes from the Lashon of Sicha, you should go and discuss it with others. What will that help if you discuss it with others? So the second line of Rashi, Shema Yisi'uhu Eitza. Maybe they'll have an Eitza for him. If you discuss your worries and your problems with a smart individual, maybe he'll give you an Eitza and you'll say, hey, I didn't think of that. Next, Nocha Pasik. V'nochash Ofer Lachmai. As we know, the Nochash, the snake, its lechem, its basic food, is offer, is sand. Again, Abami Rabasi, Chanomer, Afilu, Oichel, Kol, Madani, Oilam, Toyim, Behem, Tam, Offer. What the Pasuk is coming to tell us is that the taste buds of the Nochash are such that it makes no difference what it eats. It could be eating the most delicious, Ich weiß, sushi, caviar, pizza, kegel and cholent, whatever it is. All of those Madani Oilam have the same Tam, Tam, Offer. The other man, the Yomah, says, "Afilo oichel kol madani oilam." Even if it eats all of the delicacies in the world, ein datem yishevus olav. It only gets satiated, only gets satisfied at she oichel offer until it eats offer. All the other things really don't count. It's the offer that it looks forward to eat. That's all part of the klola that the Kadosh Baruch Hu put on the Nochash HaKadmoni when he enticed Chava, and then ultimately Odom to go and eat from the Eitz Hadas. So, talking more about the Tanya and Rabbi Yosi. Bo Riesh Leikud Midas Kodesh Baruch Hu Midas Bas Vedam Midas Bas Vedam Maknit Es Chavera Yoyed Imay Lechayov. Since we spoke about the Nochash HaKadmoni, Gemara tells us that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is different than everybody else. Everybody else, if you have a person is Maknit Es Chavera. Maknit Es Chavera means that you cause the other one to be upset, to you infuriate, irritate, aggravate the other person. So what does he do? Yoridim lechayiv. He is so upset, he's going to go and take revenge, and he's going to be yoridim lechayiv. That means, in any way, shape, or form, he's going to try to pull the rug under that other individual that caused all of that irritation. Aber Kodesh Baruch Hu einiket. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not like that. Kilel es ha-nochash. Kodesh Baruch Hu put a klola on the nochash. Oilu legag. It's a noise of imoy. Wherever the nachash goes, if it goes on the roof, it has its food, meaning that there's typically some sand. Yerid lamata goes all the way down to the ground. It's a noise of imoy. Wherever it goes, it doesn't have to go and take along a lunchbox with food. Wherever it goes, it has offer. So even though the nachash has gotten a terrible, terrible curse, but the curse turns out to be a hidden blessing. Similarly, it says, Or Kanon. Eved Avodim Yili Echav. Kila es Kanan. There's a klola on Kanan. Oichel Masher Rabbi Oichel V'Shoyseh Masher Rabbi Shoyseh. Although being an Eved is not pleasant, but in terms of basic food, he doesn't have to worry about going and buying food because he has to, the Odin supplies him with food 24 hours a day. Similarly, Kila es Isha. The Isha unfortunately also got cursed as a result of the Masa of the Eitz Hadas. Hakol Rotzen Acharech. Nevertheless, all men are running after the woman. Why are they running after? She's a klola. So we see from this and all of these examples, one more, Kila des Adama, Kodesh Baruch at the same time also put a curse on the Adama. Zeyas Pecha Toich Alechem. Hakol Nizoinim Himeni. Nevertheless, everybody has the Mizoinis from the Adama. We couldn't live without the crops. We couldn't live without the food that grows from the ground. So that's how Kodesh Baruch Hu is different than everyone else. Let's get back to the inyan of the mun and the slov. Zechanu sadoga shenuichel Mitzrayim chinam. Klal Yisrael was unfortunately complaining. They were complaining about, literally, they remembered the fish that they got in Mitzrayim for free. Although that's the Parshat Pshat, it's a machloikis. Rav Shmuel Chad Amadogim, one of them says, yeah, we're talking about fish. V'chanam aroyis, and the other one says, no, we're talking about aroyis, that they no longer could live with anyone and everyone as they could until now. Now you're wondering, what does aroyis have to do with doga, with fish? So Rashi says at the top of the Amud on the right hand side, because it says, Legabe Yosef, the Yidgul Aroyv Bekerev Aretz. The Yidgul Aroyv means that they're going to multiply and populate the world. The Yidgul Aroyv, so you see that the word dogim, says Rashi, is related to the Lashon Tashmish. As a result of living together, they will have children, be fruitful, and multiply. So this doga is a very nice way of referring to aroyis. Man diyam dogim dechsev noichal. The one that says dogim, shteitach. Zuchanus a doga shen noichal mitzvah. We eat dogim. He says, my raya is because it says in the pasuk, it didn't cost me anything. What does he do with the fact that it says noicham? He says, the pasuk is using a very nice, laundered expression. Because in fact we have a similar expression, again in Nach, that the Gemara leaves out the first few words of that pasuk. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. It should be in my Gemara, it's Ois Dalid. It says in the pasuk, Kein derech isha mina ofes. This is the way of the woman that Chas v'Shalom is being mezana. Mina ofes, of course, is from a lashon of niof, loy sinof, committing adultery or other arois. So it says, Achla, she eats, umachsa pia, and then she wipes herself, and we mean the pet shalamata, she wipes herself down below. The Amun, she says, v'palti of, I didn't do anything wrong. Anyway, why do we bring this pasuk? We bring this pasuk to show you the word achla over here doesn't mean that she ate, but achla means to engage in tashmish hamita, to engage in arroyas. So we see that the word zachanu sadog ashenoichal mitzrayim, ashenoichal, noichal is referring to arroyas. Look more about the third wide line. Ulman diyama dogim maichinam. Second, third. Man diyama dogim maichinam. According to man diyama that says that it was fish. What means chinam? You think that the mitzrayim gave out free fish to all the Jews? No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a special bracha min hefker. When Klal Yisrael would go and draw water, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazmin lehem b'teich ha-mayim dogim k'tanim v'kadeya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make a miracle on a daily basis that as they were drawing water, that inside the buckets of water they would find their little fish alach, little sardines, little herring, whatever. Fish that were swimming around, and they had fish to eat b'chinam in Mitzrayim. According to Man Yama that learned zechanu as a doga, literally that it means fish, but they had nothing to do with aroyas. That's why you understand what it says in the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, where the Kadosh Baruch Hu goes and praises Klal Yisrael, gan no'ul achoisi chala. Gal no'ul mayon choson. It's ois hey in my Gemara. Gan no'ul, the gan is lacked, achoisi chala. Gal no'ul, again lacked, mayon choson. And the mayon, the flowing waters, are choson, are sealed. Ah, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is praising Klal Yisrael and saying that in the times of Mitzrayim, they were very nizor in arroyos, and therefore mayon choson, the women made sure that their flow was sealed. In other words, that he wouldn't allow men that were not their husbands to live with them. Elamandi Yoma Aroyas Mayan Chosim. So what's the pshat in this Mayan Chosim, this pasuk? The Gemara Mehanach the Asiri Leipritzi Behu. Those people that they were allowed to live with, they lived. Those that they were also to live with, they didn't live. Well, what does that mean? Didn't we just say that they were parted by Aroyas? What does that mean? So Rashi explains that there's a different list of arroyas by the Bnei Noach than there are by Klal Yisrael. If you look on the right-hand side of the Rashi here is on both sides because there are no toises on this Amud, so the right-hand side in the middle, Rashi says, Hanuch the Asirin. So Rashi, Uysen Choyu Asura Yisrael Bnei Noach, all of those that were Asir to the Bnei Noach, keep going, Hanuch the Amrinim Sanhedrin. Erva Shebezen Choy Yisrael Mein Nisen Oleha, Ben Noach Muzar Oleha. What does that mean? You're all aware that in Parshiyos, Achrimois, and Kedoshim, you have a long list of all of the Ervas, all of the Aroyas. All of them, the halacha is at the very end of the Parsh in Kedoshim, it says, Kikola, Sheyasa, Mikola, Toyevo, Sa'ela, Benechresa. The din of Kores applies to all. However, the din of Nisa's Bezdin only applies to some, not to all. Ah, says Zokti Rashi, that the Bnei Noach are muzer on all of those arroyos where Bezdin Shel Yisrael may misen aleh, that there's a din of mises Bezdin. Those Bnei Noach are not allowed to engage in. But all those that are over and above those, in other words, take all of the ervis which are listed in Parshas Kedoshim, let's assume that there are, just to throw out an arbitrary number, 20. Let's assume that of those 20, only 7 or 8, for instance, happen to be those that there is Mises Bezdin. So those seven or eight, they were very careful. Those Hanach Dasir and Leprizibu, they didn't get involved, because those are also even to the Bnei Noach. It's the Noisafo, it's the extra ones, the 20 minus 7 or 8, those that do not have a din of Mises Bezdin, but do have a din of Kareis, those are the ones that we're talking about, and unfortunately, they were Oiver. So, Faket, the ones that are also Bnei Noach, they were not Oiver, and the ones that are Mutter Bnei Noach, they were Oiver, they did violate. And the reason why this is considered to be a problem is because until now in Mitzrayim, they had the same rules as Bnei Noach, literally, because they were only Bnei Noach. They were not the Jewish nation yet. They became the Jewish nation at the time of Har Sinai, and Har Sinai, Kodesh Baruch Hu, was Moisif, all of the additional Aroyos. So those are the ones that we're talking about, like the Gemara is going to say in another moment, that they were Bochel L'Mishpachoysev, they were upset about these new added Isurim that they didn't have until now. So says Yimar, Bishlam Naman Yom Aroyos, Hainan Dachsev, Yishma Moishes O'am Bochel L'Mishpachoysev. I understand now why they were upset. They were upset Al Iske Mishpachoysev, Shinesru Lehem, Lishkov Etzlam, that now the number of women that they were able to marry has become much more limited. Lots of those that were mutter until now became asur. Elamad yama dogi my boichel mishpachosav. So what were they complaining about? If we're talking about that they missed the fish, so why they boichel mishpachosav? If they were ha v'ha hava. This man yama that holds dogim holds that in fact it was both. So we have a machloikus over here. One man yama holds that it was only aroyis. The charnios adoga, the word doga, is a euphemistic term referring to the aroyis that were prohibited. According to the other man yama, no, doga has, if you will, a double interpretation. Number one, doga, the real mekoi, that's the real fish, and doga is also referring to v'yidgul aroyis, the inyan of the aroyis. Now, the pasuk continues on. In the same pasuk, charnios adoga, they complain about that they don't have the kishuim, avatichim, chotzir, betzolim, and shumim. That they're missing out on these five great minim. And some of them we know what they mean. For instance, kishuim is usually considered to be from the gourd family. Avatichim today is avatich, and Eretz Yisrael is a watermelon. But we don't know for sure that that was melon at the time of the midbar. And the chotzir, betzolim, of course, we know that's onions. Shumim are garlic, chotzer, I'm not sure. But regardless, all of these they did not have at that time. And they were complaining. And the question is, why not? Why didn't the Kodesh Baruch Hu give them to that? And the Rashi and Chumash already comment, as we'll see momentarily, Rabami Rabasi, same Rabami Rabasi we had at the outset of today's Gemara. Chad omer to'am, tam kol aminim to'amu b'mon, tam chameshes aminim alolu loy to'amu boy, that when they ate the mon, they were able to have all different tamim. In other words, when they ate the mon was susceptible to every taste bud and to every food. So if you happen to like chulin and kegel, and when you ate the mon you had in mind chulin and kegel, that's what you tasted. And if you like sushi, you tasted sushi. If you liked pizza, you tasted pizza, etc., etc. The only five that you could not taste when you ate the mon, you could not have the taste of the kishuim, avatichim, and chotzer. Why not? Why is Kodesh Baruch Hu discriminating against those five food items? So Rashi and Chumash already says, and Rashi says the same thing here, that 10 lines before the end of the right margin of Rashi's, Halolu leitoamu, shein koshin leubrois umeinikois, these five items, those are the kishuim and the mitzolim and the shumim. If avatichim is melon, don't think that melon is particularly difficult or dangerous for ubrois and menikois. But of course, there may be a totally different pshat in the avatichim in the posuk. So these are all injurious to the health of the mammies, those that are pregnant mammies and those that are nursing mammies. Kinamrinim is sefri. Mashal emel isha leitoichli batzel mipnei atinoi. So Rashi brings from the sefri a mashal that a woman should not go and eat onions because although she loves the onions, however, it's not good for the baby. And even today you have, very often if a baby is colicky and you go to the doctor asks about the menu, what does the mommy eat? So these five are no good. The Chadam, the other man, the Yoma says, Tam kol aminim tuamu, tamon umam moshon, V'lo taman v'lo mamoshan. No, even when you ate the mun, you could be toyim these five different flavors. You could taste the kishuim and avatichim and chotzer, etc. What's different is that you didn't have the mamoshes. In other words, when you ate a piece of mun, and you had in mind sushi, you felt like you're eating a piece of sushi. You felt like you had the rice and you had the raw fish inside or the vegetables or whatever you like. When you ate the pizza, you could just see with your own eyes and feel all of the dripping cheese and the ketchup and all the other stuff. V'chuli v'chuli. Masha'enkin, by these five things, you only had the time, you didn't have the mamashis. So apparently, according to this man, the Yomar, it would only be injurious to the health of the ubreis and menikois if it had that feel of those items. After all, even today we have a lot of artificial flavoring. Just because you go and put an artificial onion flavoring, that doesn't mean that that becomes injurious to the health if it's totally artificial. So that's the pshat over here is, these five items was only tam, and you had the flavor, but you didn't have the mamashes. Okay, continuing on, v'hu kizera gad lovan, v'tam ketapiches bedvosh. So it says in the pasuk, it was kizera gad lovan, omer bafi, ogul kigida, the lovan kimargulius. The word gad means gida. Rashi says gida means a garden, a seed of a lindry, which is coriander seed. I remember when we learned this back elsewhere, I think it was Sanhedrin somewhere else, then I believe it was David Reese that brought in coriander seed to show everyone what it looks like. Anyway, it's ogul, it's round, but usually coriander seed has a dark complexion, I don't know, red or black or whatever. Here was lovan. It was God lovan, coriander seed, nice and round, but it was lovan, but it was white, kemagolius, like a pearl. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, God, shedrima the zera pishton b'givoylen, that the mun looked like zera pishton, that's flax seeds. Even today, people eat flax seeds, b'givoylen, in their stalks. Acherim oimrim, God, shedrima l'hagoda, God means that it's similar to Haggadah, means Agadois, when you learn Agadata. Shemishachas libo shalodim kimayim. Very often people, when it comes to halacha, it's so difficult, I don't understand, I don't have any cheshik. But Agadata, everybody likes a shtickle Agadata, interesting stories, interesting interpretations. So too, when it came to man, everybody liked the man, and they liked it like hearing Agadata. Tani idach, God, shemagalam Yisrael, ibn tisho l'rishoin, I ben shivali achren. What does that mean? So Rashi explains the following. As you know, it says in the Pasuk that when they came home after collecting the oimer, the mun every day, it says vayimoid ba'oimer, and then they discovered that those that had taken a large portion did not take more than they were entitled to, and those that took a small portion didn't take less than that they were entitled to. The amount that they got in their bags or in their baskets was exactly the number, according to the number of nefashis in the mishpacha. So if they had in the mishpacha, for instance, 8 family members, guess what? They had 8 portions a month. This was every single day. Whether you took a lot, you took a little, it always came out exactly the number of portions of the members of the family. Okay, so what happens if you had a woman that unfortunately was divorced, and she remarried? And you're supposed to wait 3 months between a get and remarriage so that you can determine whether, if and when she becomes pregnant, whether that's a pregnancy from the first husband or a pregnancy from the second husband. And if a woman doesn't wait and she gets pregnant, so you never know. It could be a pregnancy from the first, could be from the second. When they had the money, you had nothing to worry about. Why? Because after the child was born, go and look how much omer was brought home. If the first family, in other words, the first husband, brought more than the number of nefashis in his family, if he had one more, that means that newly born baby actually belongs to his family. And the same thing applies if the second family had the number including the baby, then they knew, that baby belongs to the second family. So therefore, with the money, you were able to determine who the father was and to which family this newly born child belongs. So it was called Zera Gad Lovan Lovan Shemalbin Avanisein Shel Yisrael. It causes the Averis of Klal Yisrael to become white. We of course spoke about this at length in reference to the Sora Mishtaleach and the Zahoiris, the Loshen Shel Zahoiris that turned from red to white. So now what is this white all about? So the Tap Rashi on the left hand margin says, like we started off today's Gemara, the Inui in the Midbar, when they had the Mun, what was the Inui? The Inui was that they didn't have Pas Besalei. Every day they had to worry about, will I have food tomorrow? So Tap Rashi, Shemal Ben Avnesen, they took show you the Agin. They were nervous, they were concerned. Maybe there won't be any Mun next day. Every day they made sure by davening that they had kavana. When they said Baruch Aleinu, when they said Shema Aleinu, they said Rabbeinu Shalom, please give me food again. The food yesterday was delicious, but I don't know about the next day and tomorrow and the further on. So therefore, because they davened with great kavana, great fervor, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave them tshuva and malvin, Kodesh Baruch Hu atoned them, and that's why it says love. Just like a Novi could go and tell Klal Yisrael all secrets, because Novi had prophecy, he had a direct phone line to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he could tell them what's in the Chayim Stakin, in the holes and in the cracks. How is that? What do you mean? So the Gemara Ketza. Two people come in front of Moshe for a din Torah. Ze Oimer Avdi Ganafta. This one says, you stole my Eved. Ze Oimer, I stole it? Atam Chartali, you sold the Eved to me. Who's right and who's wrong? Amle Moshe Leboike Mishpat. Just wait, Mitchum, by tomorrow morning, we will have our decision. The next day, again, they're going to count up how many portions of mun they have. If they see that the first family, the one where the Eved was living until now, if they have that one extra portion, including the Eved, then they know B'yidushin Zeh Gonvoy. Then we know that the second person stole it. And then to Umra, the base Rabbi Shani. However, if they counted up the measures of mun and they found that there was enough for that second, for the Eved, that newly acquired Eved, the Midush is a Machrila. So we know that it was not a Geneva, it was a Machira. Unfortunately, if there was a situation of husband and wife that were having difficulties, and they're coming for a Din Torah, and there's a point of Chas V'Shalom that he's giving her a get, and she is asking, okay, if you're giving me a get, but you have to pay me my ksuba, so Ze Oimer, the husband says about the wife, he sorcha alai, she unfortunately sinned against me, she's living with other men, and that's the reason why I'm giving her a get and getting rid of her. And because she is sinning, she is not entitled, she's not deserving of my giving her a ksuba. The Amez, she said, no, it's the other way around, who sorcha alai, he's the bad guy, not me. And therefore, yes, I deserve my ksuba like any woman that's getting divorced. If he doesn't want to live with me, he has his eyes in somebody else. What can you do? At least divorce me and give him my ksuba, because I am totally innocent. So the question is, who's right and who's wrong? Let's wait until the next morning and we'll see. Lamocha the next day, if we see that her portion of mun is among the portions of mun of the husband, then we see that she really belongs to his shtib, to his household, and she has been the one that's wandering and living with others, but she really belongs to him. And therefore, he is off the hook, he doesn't have to pay her her ksuba, because she's the one that's sinning. On the other hand, if you see, however, that her portion is in the home of her father, that means that her proper place is not in his home, but elsewhere. So, for instance, if she went back to her father's home, then we know that he is the guy that's the bad guy. He's the one that is sinning, and yes, she is deserving of receiving her ksuba after all. Somebody has a question?
Yes,
Robert.
If her portion is in her husband's house, it's normal because the family gets Bekalagogaitis. So, I don't understand. Why is this approved that she sinned? On the contrary, her portion comes regularly and always.
Understood. I'm sure you were using a borrowed term. The Bekalagogaitis, as you know, is referring to the Machtas HaShekel, but you were referring to the portion of Omer that everybody in the family gets.
Correct. Okay. She's getting her regular portion.
She's getting her regular portion, absolutely. But the point over here is that the fact that that portion is found in her husband's home and not in her father's home, that tells you that legally and morally and ethically she should be with her husband because she married him. Exactly. And that's why she's been getting Omer in that. I agree with you, Robert. And that's why she's been getting Omer there for the last 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, as long as they have been married.
Nothing's changed.
Let's look on the flip side. What happens if she's been married for 10 years and all of a sudden there is no Omer for her in her husband's home, but rather in her father's home? Why would the Omer be in her father's home? So the Gemara says, because she is the one that's right, he's the one that's wrong. She has no business being there with that husband because that husband is sinning. He is living with other women. And so therefore, she should get out as soon as possible. And then the Gemara says, "Biyadua shehu sarach aleha." From this we see that he is the one that is guilty of getting around and living with other people. She's the one that's totally innocent. That's why she's bevei sevia.
Yes.
Okay, so now the flip side, once again, if however the Omer is in Beis Bala, that means that that's where she should be, and she has not been, and therefore the Baal says, listen, you're part of my household, why have you been philandering? Why have you been running around with boys and men outside the house? You belong here. Now, you're absolutely right that until now she's been getting her portion because she's been married to this husband. But you see from this Din Torah that there is a lack of fundamental Shalom bias here. And they're at the point of a get and a ksuba. And you see that other women under these circumstances, depending, sometimes their Omer is in their father's home and sometimes in the husband's home. If it's still in the husband's home, that means she really belongs to the husband and the husband is the one in the right and she's the one in the wrong. If, however, if we find that the Omer for her is in her father's home, is a siman that she doesn't belong to her husband anymore because that husband is a Rasha. He is a person who is a sinful individual living with other women, so she should get out of there. She doesn't need such a husband. She should go back to her father's home, and that's why the Omer, in fact, is in her father's home after all. Getting back to the Gemara, Ksiv, Uberedes Atal al Hamachne Loila Yerd Haman Olav, that the mon would go and fall on the Machne. That sounds like over the entire camp of Klal Yisrael. Uksiv, it says, V'yetzer on v'loktu, or v'yotzer on v'loktu. And Klal Yisrael went out, they had to exit to go and be located to collect the iman. Uksiv, the other pasuk says, shatu on v'loktu, that they had to go far. The word shatu gives the sense of going a distance to go and collect the iman. So make up your mind. Says, you want haketzer? Tzadikim yorad al pesach boteyem. The tzaddikim, the mon fell over the entire machne, so they just had to open their door, and the mon is right in front of the doorstep. Beinanim yotzev alaktu. Those that were kind of middle, they had to go out a little bit, they had to exit and walk around, twice a block, or two, or three. Rishoyim shotu alaktu. They had to go quite a distance until they finally got their mon. Vaitishin posik siv lechem, siv ugois, siv v'tochenu. We have three different lishoinis in the psukim. If you see the psukim on the side, they have, for instance, you have in Pasuk Tes, in my Gemara, so it was called lechem. There's another Pasuk says, shatu on v'loktu, v'asu oso ugois, v'yitamoy kitam l'shad ha'shaman. So it's called them ugois. And the same Pasuk says, idochu bamdoicha. So they're all different, and v'tochnu berechayim. So they have all different lishoinis. So according to one, it came down in the form of lechem, and the other pasuk says it came down ugois, and the third pasuk says v'tochnu. Okay, so tzadikim lechem. For the tzadikim, it came down as a final finished product. You didn't have to exert any effort. You can go and wash your hands and make hamoitzi and eat. What bracha did you make hamoitzi? In fact, there's a gemara elsewhere that they make a bracha hamoitzi lechem min haaretz or hamoitzi lechem min hashamoyim. But that's not our concern. The point is that it was finished product, lechem. The Beinanim got ugois. I know ugois typically means cakes, but Rashi says ugois of here, mashma koidem afia. It was in the form of an unbaked dough, which still needed to be put in the oven to be baked. Rishoyim tochnu berechaim. They had to go and take the grain. They received grain, and they took the grain, and they had to go and grind it up and pulverize it and make it into flour, and then flour into dough, and then dough into bread, etc. So they had a big malucha. Right, idochu bamdoicha. Idochu bamdoicha is that they put it into a mortar and pestle, and you crush it, and you grind it up. Together with the man, they also got a present. They got tachshitim. Now I know most people think of tachshitim as being jewelry, but jewelry is not nidach b'medoich. It's not the type of thing that you crush with a mortar and pestle. And therefore Rashi says, we're not talking about tachshitim in the form of jewelry, but we're talking about psamim. We're talking about perfumes, which you go and use which you have to go and crush the ingredients and make perfume out of it. Uvishlu baporor. Vishlu baporor means you go and cook it inside a large cauldron, large pot. Yisrael im haman tzike kedera. Together with the man, also came down cooking spices. So, besides getting the man in the bag or the basket, they would also get together with that, some paprika and some garlic powder and onion powder and things of that nature. Well, but maybe onion and garlic not. That was the machlekes we had before. Okay, so not onion powder and garlic powder, but yechweis, other types of tzikik, they're the spices that you put into the pot when you garnish it and make it delicious. And this is referring to the nidvas ha-mishkan that Klal Yisrael brought every day, all types of precious gems, and gold and silver, when the Moshe Rabbeinu said, bring the doves for the Mishkan. What's the Lashon Baboyker Baboyker? I'm Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, I'm Rabbi Yonason. Mi dover shiord lehem Baboyker Baboyker. When they brought the Nadova, they brought it from those items that they received on every morning. What does that mean? Malamit shiord lehem Yisrael, avodim toides amagolias imamon. Besides the perfume, and besides the cooking spices, also came out gemstones and pearls. And those are the things that they gave as a nedova to the Mishkan. Baboike, baboike, those things that they received in the morning with the man. Now we normally think of Nesiyim as being the Nesiyim of the 12 Shvatim, like when we read the Chanukah Sanesiyim on Chanukah, beginning of Nisan. But that's not the Nesiyim we're referring to. Nesiyim also means clouds. And therefore the Gemara says, Tana Nesiyim Mamish. We really mean clouds. V'cheinu Oyim, it says in the Pasuk, Nesiyim V'ruach, the Geshem Oyim. What is this Pasuk referring to? The Gemara leaves out the second Pasuk, the second part of the Pasuk, Nesiyim V'ruach, the Geshem Oyim, Ish Mishalel B'matas Shoker. What we're referring to is Sheker, about lies. Our former president said fake news. So you have Nesiyim V'ruach. You have clouds outside, V'ruach, and then you start seeing the winds. And you say to yourself, oh boy, it looks like it's really going to pour. I see how these winds are really blowing, and I see all these clouds. The Geshem Oyim, and then guess what happens? And it doesn't even rain. Nothing happens. So that's the Mata Shoker, that it's as if poetically we're saying that the heavens are lying to us, fake news, it's not going to rain. So we see from that the word Nesiyim means clouds, and here too, that the clouds, they were the ones that collected and brought the Avnei Shoham for purposes of the aphoid stones that you have on top. We're returning now to the Indian of the Mun, and the Mun tasted like Shad HaShaman. What does exactly Shad HaShaman mean? So the Mun has two Pirushim. Amr Bavo, Ma Shad Zeh. Tinoik toyim ba kamatamim. The shad that we're referring to is the woman's dadim, the shadayim that she uses to nurse her children. And when the child tastes the milk of the mommy, the child tastes also what the mommy ate. So if the mommy ate delicious sushi, then the child tastes that sushi. And if the mommy ate chulent and kegel, then the child tastes the chulent and kegel. Afaman calls man Yisrael, oichlen oisay moitzim boi kamatamen. As long as Klal Yisrael kept on eating the man on a daily basis, they could go and have all types of flavors and taste buds. In other words, they tasted all the tamim of all the foods.
Excuse me, that's why the
the cucumbers and the onions and the leeks who are a problem, they come through in the milk nursing the baby.
Exactly right. Thank you. So as Shlomo has correctly pointed out, that's why the Gemara said before that Hashem didn't allow for those five flavors because of the fact that those could be injurious to the health of the babies. Thank you. But there's another pshat in Shad, not referring to Shadayim, but it's referring to the Shindalit. Those are what we call the evil demons. Ikriyamri Lishad Mamish, or not Lishad, but now it's referring to Shindalit with a Tzeda, with Shei, Shindalit. Ma just like these evil demons, they can go and change costumes and make themselves look different. Also, the man also can change to many different tastes and many different flavors, depending what you have in mind. Now we're talking about this love that Moshe Rabbeinu said Hashem Yisbarach is going to go and give you the basar at night, and the lechem in the morning, to be satiated. So why does he talk about the basar at night and the bread in the morning? They had no business asking for meat. The reason why they had no business asking for meat is because Rashi points out, and Rashi says this in Chumash too, because after all, miknerav hoya levmei ruvein, and to the rest of Klal Yisrael, they had plenty of cattle, plenty of beef, plenty of flocks of tzoyin, of sheep. They didn't have to ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu for meat. They could have shechted what they had. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu answered them, Shaloi Kohigim. Shaloi Kohigim means that they got it at night, says Rashi, when it's already dark or close to dark, and people want to eat, but you have to go and spend some time now in preparation. You gotta go and shecht it, and of course you gotta go and flay it, and you have to go and salt it, and you have to go and cook it. This could be a multi-hour preparation, and therefore they got a shloi kohigin at a time when it was inconvenient in the evening. However, lechem, we're in the top of the Amud Beis, lechem sheshalu kohigin, the bread that they asked properly, after all, everybody has to eat bread, nitalem kohigin, therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it bright and early in the morning, so right after davening, they could all start eating breakfast, amachai. Mikan, limdater derecherz, lo yoichel odem basar ela b'layla. Now the word mikan, limdater derecherz, is a little bit schwer, because where do we see from this that a person should only eat basar at night? We don't see from that, if anything, with shloi kohoyim. And therefore, many others take out the word mikan, and they just thought, limdater derecherz, because Baruch Hu is teaching us derecherz, shloi yoichel odem basar ela b'layla, don't eat basar in the morning, eat basar at night. It's not healthy to go and eat in the morning. Morning you should have lighter things, and at night you can eat the meat for the main meal. Didn't Abaye say a couple of days ago, Hayman di isli sudasa, loyli ochli elabiyamama. He had the Gemara yesterday, bottom of the Amud Beis. What did Abaye say? That a person who eats a suda, he should eat only during the day. Because during the day you'll appreciate what you eat. If you eat at night, you can't even see what you're eating. You don't appreciate it. What we mean to say is, what Abai was saying is, if you're eating at night, make sure you put on candles, put on the lights, so you see what you're eating, otherwise you don't have any real satiation from the food, just like Rav Yosef said about the Summa who's blind. Of course, Rav Yosef... I'm sorry, Brother Shai?
You're talking about the busser, but the busser only came once with the slav. What are they talking about that came in the evening, like it was a regular... event.
I don't know how long. We know for sure that it was at Chodesh Yomim, but that Chodesh Yomim could be that it was that they were suffering on it for 30 days. Like the Gemara is going to tell us in another few lines. I don't know historically how long this love fell in the Midbar, but whenever it fell and as long as it fell, that teaches the lesson that the basar fell at nighttime, so you eat basar at nighttime. So tomorrow, maybe they learned from that from that point on, they did start slaughtering and shechting some of their own flock, so they didn't have to worry about slav. So tomorrow, Omer Avach Bar Yankim, B'tchilo Hayu Yisrael, Doimim Ketarne, Goyim Shem Nakram, B'Ashba, Ashem B'moyshim, V'kovel Hem Zman Tzuda. Until that time, people, the Klal Yisrael, were acting like roosters, that were Menakram B'Ashba, that they were pecking at the Ashba, at the garbage dump. But here what it really means is that they didn't have set times to eat, but rather every hour or two they would, as we would say today, they would nash on something. They would nash on a piece of cake and nash on potato chips and nash on this and nash on that, because they were not regularized in terms of when their meals were. So whenever they got hungry, they would eat a little bit more. Until Moshe Rabbeinu came in a couple of them Zman Suda. And what was the Zman Suda? Like we had at the bottom of the Amud Aleph, that V'erev Boser Lechol, V'lechem B'boikel Ezbayach. In other words, the people should eat two meals a day, or as we many here eat three meals a day, but it should be at appointed times in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon, as opposed to just gnashing and eating the whole day. Now we're talking about the Klal Yisrael was punished for asking for this love. So Habasa Oidenu Ben Shineim Teremi Koreis V'Af Hashem, etc., etc. What's the Lashon of Pasuk? V'Af Hashem Chore Ba'om V'Yach Hashem Ba'om Maka Rabam Oid. When the mon, not the mon, when the slav was still between their teeth, then Chas Hashem Mekadosh Baruch Hu already gave a Maka Rabba. He inflicted a major patch already at that time. But the pasuk after that says, or pasuk elsewhere says, "Ad chodesh yomim, ad ashe yetsi mi'apchem," that they would eat from the man until for 30 days, until it went out, came out of their noses. Vayilechem lezara. Ad chodesh yomim sounds like they didn't die immediately, but 30 days later. So what's going on over here? Is Zokti Yomara habasa idena ben shineim oksev ad chodesh yom. The Gemara is learning ad chodesh yom, not that they ate it for 30 days, but they kind of suffered for 30 days. Those people that were middle of the line people, they died immediately, so they shouldn't have to suffer. The bad guys, up to 30 days, they were mitzayer until they had terrible gastronomical problems, until they finally passed away 30 days later. Notice over here, we don't talk about tzaddikim, beininim, and rishoyim, because the tzaddikim didn't ask for this love. It was the bad guys that asked for this love, so it's only the beininim and the rishoyim. And then the pasuk says, v'yishtachu lehem shetoyach svivoy samachne, that the love made v'yishtachu. Now, Boshim Shat, the word v'yishtachu means that it made a nice, like a carpet or a rug over the entire machne. Even today in Eretz Yisrael, they refer to a rug or a carpet as shtichim. Right, Shlomo, am I correct? So here too, there was like a layer of carpet of these slav all over the machne. Amr Shlokish al Tikrish by Yishtachu ela by Yishchatu. Malamishin is Chayvus and Yisrael, Sainen Shal Yisrael Shchita. Comes to tell you that because Klal Yisrael acted in a bad way, the Chas Shalom, they were at that time, they were Neschayv, they were punished and punishable with Shchita Nebuch, with death, because they sinned by asking for this love, asking for meat. Now the pasuk says, "V'yishtachu lehem shatoyach." Tana mishmeid b'shimon korach al tikar shatoyach ela shochut shochut from lashon shchita. V'lamit sheyor lehem Yisrael im aman dover shatoyin shchita. Oh, the slav fell together with the man. It doesn't mean it simultaneously, because the man fell in the morning, and this fell in the evening. But it means to say at the same time, contemporaneously, the same day, they had a dover shatoyin shchita, to teach you that slav is a dover that requires shchita. And Amar Rebbe, so Rebbe says, this is how we know that there's a din of shchita by oifos, by birds. From here you learn about the Kvan Emar. We have already another pasuk. V'yamter aleim ka'ofa she'er, k'choil iyamim oif kanav. V'yamter aleim k'nish bolchu rain down upon them, k'choil iyamim, like the sand of the sea, oif kanav. Oif, a flying bird. V'tani Rabbi Oimer, v'zavachta kasher tzivisicha. I have a pasuk, v'zavachta kasher tzivisicha. What does that mean? V'lami sh'nistav Moshe al aveshen v'alakon v'al roiv echad v'oiv v'al roiv ha'shnayim v'bahayim. Even though the pasuk doesn't enumerate all the halachas involved in shechting animals and shechting oifos, but all of that is implicit in the pasuk v'zavachta kasher tzivisicha. V'zavachta means go and shecht it like I commanded you. That's the major headline, that's the major rule and requirement. As far as the details, those are not spelled out. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gave them, transmitted them to Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see one of the rules is Roiv Echad Ba'oif, that if you want to eat Oif, you need Shechita. So you don't need this Pasuk Shetoyach to tell you about Hilcha Shechita. Therefore, Elamat Tamad Loimah Shetoyach, Elamat Sheyor Lehem, Mashtichen, Mashtichen. Like we said before, it fell down layers and layers, layers and layers of the slav, one on top of the other, and covering the whole surface of the machne. Right, this is the pasuk siv lechem. We said about the mun that it was like lechem. We brought the pasuk of the Amud Aleph, and it also says the pasuk uksiv lishad hashomen shemen uksiv dvash Shemen, of course, is oil, and the rash, of course, is honey. So why is it described in these three different ways? Omer b'yoyzim rabchanina l'na'orem lechem, l'azakenim shemen, l'tinoikos dvash. Each category of age got food that was nourishing for them. And therefore, what's good for the, see if the Rashi on the right hand margin, again there's no Tosis here, right hand margin, Rashi is about 10, 12 lines from the bottom. It doesn't start off with bold, it starts off with light font. Lechem yofa lebachurim, for bachurim, meaning for young men, then lechem is good for them, for I guess for their, to build themselves up, for nourishment. Shemen is good for zakenim, elderly individuals. They have oil, udvash l'tiroikis, and for young and little kids, infants, they have a lot of honey that you put, I guess, into their cereal, the farina, except, etc. So therefore, they have these three lashonos to tell you how these were all nourishing for the different age categories in Klal Yisrael. Right, fourth wide line. Ksiv shlov, the Karinan slov. In other words, the word slov is written with a shin siv, therefore you could read it as if it's with a shin shlov. But we do read it as slav. What does that tell you? I'm Reb Chanina. Tzadikim oichon oisei b'shalva. The tzadikim would eat it b'shalva in tranquility. It didn't affect them in an adverse way, even though they didn't ask for it, but I guess they received it. And therefore, these tzadikim, they didn't die immediately or after 30 days. They ate it b'shalva. Rishom oichon oisei v'doim alehem kisiluim. Kisiluim means like eating things which are prickly. Rashi says koitzim, which are thorns. So the shalva is from the Lashon shlov, that the tzaddikim made it in peace and tranquility. It didn't have any negative effect. The Rishon, however, it was like eating thorns, which unfortunately punctured and caused all types of problems. There are four different categories of shlov. The Elohim, and the four are called shichli, kibli, pisioini, and shlov. Those are the four levels. And of the four, Ma'ali de Kula, the best of the four is Shichli. That was the first. Kriya de Kula, the worst of them is Slav. That's the fourth one that we just listed. Vahavikit Tziporta, and it looked like a small tzipar, a small little bird. Umasvinu lebe tanura, and you would put it into the tanner to go and bake or to roast. The tofach, and then it would swell. And the reason why it would swell, says Rashi, is because it was full of fat, and therefore became big and filled up the tanner. Vahavimoli tanura, would fill it up. And then when you would take the slav out, and you would see that schmaltz, all types of fat was dripping from it. And if you placed it at tleiser rifi, Rashi says tleiser rifi means 13 loaves of bread. On top of the 13 loaves of bread you put this slav, there would be so much fat that would be emitted by this slav, it would saturate all 13 loaves, so that the bottom one, number 13, you couldn't possibly eat that loaf of bread on its own. You'd have to go and mix it with something else. It was just so much fat. It was just too fat. And therefore, you'd have to be able to make it edible, you'd have to add other ingredients, other food items together with it. And Rashi says, Al achas kama v'kama, avada the top ones. They're saying even the bottom one. But of course, the top ones was much, much worse. Says Yimar, Rav Yehuda Mishtakech Lei Beidani. Now, although when they asked for the slav at the times of in the Midbar, that was a bad thing. However, the Gemara is going to tell us that the slav, particularly, I guess, we said there are four different categories of slav. Shichli is the best. So, in later generations, a Kodesh Baruch Hu would, for great tzaddikim, a Kodesh Baruch Hu would give them a present, that they would get slav automatically, and this was beneficial. So, Rav Yehuda Mishtakech Lei Beidani. When he would wake up in the morning or during the day and he would walk in his wine cellar, he'd find between the barrels of wine, there would be slav there. Rav Chizu Mishtakech Lei Beit Tzivi, and Rav Chizu would find slav, Beit Tzivi, in his woodshed. Tzivi is lumber or pieces of wood, so Beit Tzivi would be his woodshed. Rava Maisile Arise, Rava, you remember Rava was not only a Talmud of Rav Chisda, but Rav was also a son-in-law of Rav Chisda. Barry always points out that he was the second son-in-law because Rami Bar Chama was the first son-in-law. Anyway, the point is, Rav was the son-in-law of Rav Chisda, and every day, Maisili Arisa, his oris means his sharecropper, his worker, would bring him Kol Yom V'Yom, he would go and bring him Slav. Yom Echad V'Yaisi, one day he didn't bring the Slav. Omar, my hi, what happened? Where's my oris? Where's my slav? Solik the Igra, he went up to the roof. Shami the Inoik, and then he heard there was a Timik there that was learning. Tik Omar, he was quoting a pasuk. Shamati vatirgas bitni. I heard, and my bet and my stomach got all upset. And therefore he figured that what those three words mean is that there is terrible news. Omar, shmamina. Noch nafshi Rav Chisda, my Rebbe and my Shver, Rav Chisda, must have passed away. And because of that, Ubadul Rabba, Ochel Talmidim. Or it's actually Ubedeil Rabba. The only reason why I got this free slav every day by my Oris was in the Schus of my Shver of Rav Chisda. And now that Rav Chisda has passed on, then unfortunately I no longer have that Schus because I only got it in his merit. No Rav Chisda, no more slav. The tal means from a loshan aliyah of being high. Uksiv is a loshan uberedesatal that it was low. Make up your mind. Is the tal is the mun higher or is the mun lower than the tal than the do? Amr Yosef Chanina tal malal v'tal malmata v'doyim mikemoyshem munaf v'kovsa. Oh, the mun was nicely gift wrapped every day. Every single day they came out into the field to go and find the mun, and the mun was covered with a nice layer of dew, and beneath it was another nice layer of dew, like it was in a box, in other words, gift wrapped with a nice ribbon around it. And you all know that this is one of the reasons why it's given that we go and cover the chalas on Shabbos, because this way also they got the mun, lecha mishnah, a double portion, and we, to remember the mun, we take lecha mishnah on Shabbos, and we have the tablecloth and the table underneath, and we have the challah cover on top. So again, the challahs are covered over on the top and on the bottom, just like the mun was in a box covered by the tal on the top and on the bottom. There are other reasons too, because of the bezoyin of the wine, but this is one of the reasons that's given for the covering of the challahs. Continuing, shaykh right in the pasuk that it was dak mechuspas. What does mechuspas mean? Again, this refers to the mun. Dak mechuspas. Omer ishlokish dovashi nimuach al pisa sayat. This is something that would almost melt in your hands. You remember the commercial of 100 years ago that M&M chocolates, they melt in your mouth, not in your hands. However, here the mun was so soft and so fresh and so nice, it would melt in your hands, in your the palm of your hands, and you eat it. Ah, kishmak, it was delicious. Rabbi Yochanan Omer dovashi nivla b'masayim v'arbaim u'shmoin evarim. That the word mechuspas is bigamatria 248, and that all of the mun was used and consumed by every aver of the body. And as you all know, the famous Chazal, which is in fact the Gemara that we're going to learn momentarily, that none of the people had to go and use the facilities in those days, because every aspect of the mun was totally nourishing, and every aspect stayed in the body. None of it had to be emitted by the body. The Gemara will talk about this in more depth shortly. So the Gemara says that the word mechuspas is bigamatria 248, because there are mach evarim. For the Gemara, you're wrong. Mechuspas tuvav. If you add up mechuspas, it comes out to 254. Amrav Nachma Yitzchak mechuspas ksif. If you look back at the pasuk, it's written without the vav. It just says mechuspas. If we do a quick calculation, the mem and the ches, that's already the 48 of ramach. That's already 48. And the samach is 60. We have another samach, again 60, is 120, and we have the pay in the middle, which is 80, 120, and 80 gets us to 200, so mechuspas without the vav is exactly 248 ksif. Tanurban, lechem abirim ochal ish. The pasuk refers to the mun that it was a lechem abirim that a person ate. What does that mean, abirim? Lechem shemalach yesharis oichlen oisei. This is the type of food that is eaten by the malachim. This is heavenly food. Divrei Bekiva. Remember the word of Rabbi Shmuel. When Rabbi Shmuel heard this drasha, Amar lehem, tzu v'imru lo l'Akiva, go and tell Akiva, Akiva, to Isa, you made a boo-boo, you made a mistake. V'chi malachi yashar es oichlem lechem. Malachim don't eat anything, they don't eat bread. V'lo kvar nema, lechem li'chalti, mayim li'shasisim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I was like a malach for 40 days. Up in Shemayim, there's no food, there's no drink. So you see the malachim don't eat anything. So Abirim is not referring to the malachim. Elmani Mekayim Abirim. So what does Abirim refer to? Like we said before, Lechem Shenivla Mimasayim Aboim Ushmoina Evarim. Abirim is like the word Evarim, that it's all used and swallowed up and absorbed into all 248 limbs of the body. Everybody knows the famous pasuk, I believe it's in Kiseitze, Kisavoy, towards the end of Dvarim, that it says in the pasuk that, especially when the military or anybody is going to have to go out to relieve themselves, that in addition to their weapons, they should also have the yosati lechal azinecha. In addition to the azinecha, over here is referring to the weapons, and they should take with you a yosid, a spade, a shovel of sorts, and when you have to go out, and then you're going to go and use that shovel to dig up some sand, and use that sand to go and cover your tzoa, your excrement that you've relieved yourself. You just told me that it was lechem abir, you never had to go to the bathroom. So what are you talking about? It says, when Klal Yisrael was going, there were, I guess, peddlers, merchants from Umas Oilam that would go and sell them things other than the man. They would sell them, nash, sell them potato chips, or whatever they sold them. And therefore people would buy that from them. That was what they needed the yosid for when they had to go to the bathroom. No, even that the man was so miraculous that it may figure it caused those items also to decompose in the body and to be used by the 248 evarim. Why did they ever have to go to the bathroom? After they went and sinned. When did they sin? When they spoke about the man and they said, Nafshenu kotza belechem haklokel. How can we continue eating this terrible, terrible bread? It's gefährlich. Nafshenu kotza. We reject. It's so repulsive. Oh, it's repulsive. Ha ha ha. Okay, now I'm going to show you. From now on, you're going to have to go to the bathroom. So I'm a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ani amarti, I want it. You, k'malachi asharis, that the Yidin, that they should be like malachim, that they shouldn't have to use the facilities, they shouldn't have to relieve themselves in the bathrooms. Achshav ani matriach oisam shoish parsois, now I'm going to punish them, they're complaining, now they're going to have to walk three parsois to go to the bathroom. Why three parsois? Because it's in the pasuk. V'yachnu al hayadim v'esa yishimais ad ovel hashitim, that the entire camp of Klal Yisrael from one end to the other was three parsois long. V'yam ha-b'b'chanav, Rabbi Chana says, I was there, I visited Yarden, Mibesa Yishima, I said, Ovel Hashitim, Vahavitlos and Parsi, there was Taka three Parsois. Vitona, and we learn, Kishanifnim, Ein Nifnim, Lefnevel, today, El Achirei. When a person had to go to the bathroom, he couldn't go to the bathroom in the middle of the Machne, nor in front or in the side, but he had to go all the way in back of the Machne, which means that he had to go backwards through the whole Machne until he's outside the Machne. And since we just said that the whole Machne was three Parsa, what happens if you had a bad guy who was living at the front of the Machne to go to the bathroom? He had to go three Parsois. He had to trek that long distance to be able to go to be Nifna to relieve himself. That's all because Sorchu, because unfortunately they sinned. The Atan of Anafsheni Yevesha ain't cold. Bilti Elamani Nenu. Our Nefoshes are Yevesha. We're dried because the only thing they'll eat is this man. Zok to Yimara. Anafsheni Yevesha ain't cold. Omru. The people were complaining and saying, it's true that we haven't gone to the bathroom for all of these days, weeks, months, and years. But eventually, it's going to explode. Is that physically possible? A person should eat and eat and eat and never have to go to the bathroom? And therefore, that's why they were punished, because Kadosh Baruch Hu made a special bracha. They shouldn't have complained. They should have been very happy. Like we had before. So the Gemara just repeats what we had before. If you notice the Aleph of the Gra, right before Ukshinemu Devarim, he takes all these words out because we already said this a few moments ago. Elamani Mekayim, what is V'yosu L'chot Yal Ezenecha? B'dvarim Shibboim Lehem Medina Sayah. So this is a little bit of a variation on what we said before. Before we're talking about the Tagri Umas Oyvam sold them food. That's why they had to relieve themselves, because of that food. Now the Gemara is saying not the Tagri Umas Oyvam. We're talking about foods that came from Dina Sayam. Dover Acher Lechem Abirim Ochalish. What is this referring to? Now we're not focusing on the Abirim. We're referring to the Ish. Who's the Ish? Zeh Yeshua. Sheyard Leiman Kneged Kol Yisrael. Yeshua received the man corresponding to the gun to all of Klal Yisrael. Now, when it says Kneged Kol Yisrael, literally that would mean that he would get the same amount as Gans Klal Yisrael, but that doesn't sound like a good pshat. Because after all, if you had 600,000 nefashis of Klal Yisrael, that's just the men, without the women, without the children, Yeshua got 600,000 portions. Well, what would he do with all that money? He couldn't possibly eat it. So they say that it means that his chus was such that even if he was separate, that for instance, he was together with Moshe high up there, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up Aboyim Yom Aboyim Laila, we know that Yeshua stayed there on the mountaintop. What did he eat? He also got man. In his own schus, he had so much schus like the rest of Klal Yisrael, like they got, he got too, in his own separate. Anyway, the point is that the Keneged Klal Yisrael is not talking about the volume, it's talking about the merit. Just like they merited to receive this miraculous man, he on his own merits deserved to and received the man. How do I know it's referring to Yeshua? Because this pasuk says, "Lechem avirim ochal ish." Uksiv hasam kach lechwas Yeshua benun ish asher ruach. Why? So I learned ish is referring to Yeshua. Vayim avayim Moshe is referring to Moshe. Zechsev v'ish Moshe anav mi oid. Also called ish. Dan ish me ish. Vayim dan an ish me viho ish. We learn ish from ish, but we don't learn ish from viho ish because those are really two different words. So therefore, it's more mistava that we're talking about Yeshua and not about Moshe. And we're going to stop over here. Anybody have any questions? Hearing none, I wish everybody a wonderful, beautiful Shabbos, a Friday Chanechtigin Shabbos, and a Miyat Shem Sunday, because it's a Tanis. We're going to be starting at 8:30 to allow everybody to daven and to say the Slichas for the Tanis. And hopefully, Miyat Shem, this Tanis will be Nehapach to a Yom Simcha V'Sosu in Bekarf. All the best, everyone. Thank you all for joining. Have a good Shabbos. Be well.
Shabbos.
Bye bye.
Shabbos here right now. I probably won't be around Sunday, so have an easy pass.
Thank you, and you the same. We're going to miss you, Barry. Kol Tov. Bye bye.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, Robert. Be well. Kol Tov.